It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your lifelong Little Leaguer and host of Youth Sports Now. Hey, it's nice to be coming at you tonight and this afternoon so that we can get you some wonderful information and news about youth sports. Remember, we are here because we care about youth sports, and we're always here to talk about the issues that revolve around the youth sports programs in our area, and whether it be for coaches, for parents, grandparents, even, or youth sports administrators, and certainly players, we're here to provide you with the best possible information and also news and things that are maybe a little bit different than some of the traditional sports that we often talk about. We've talked in the past about your what I'll call traditional sports of baseball and football, hockey, soccer, tennis, golf, and so on. But every now and then, we find something that is just unbelievably interesting and intrigues us and kind of piques our interest a little bit, and that is what is on tap for today's show. Imagine this. You have many times, I know all of our listeners have turned on the Olympics. And when you've turned on the Olympics, if it's the summertime, you have watched synchronized swimming. And, you know, certainly you've seen that on TV and how cool that is to have this group of athletes in the pool all synchronized together. Now, you've also turned on the Olympics and you've watched figure skating. And the figure skating takes place in the Winter Olympics. And you certainly know what that's like. And you've certainly had professional ice skaters and Olympians come to the Rochester area and you get to go see them. Now what I want you to do is to imagine putting both of them together so you've got synchronized figure skating. Yep, you heard me right. Synchronized figure skating. This is a tremendous sport, and we found out about it actually today. And synchronized skating is a team sport where 8 to 20 skaters perform a program together. And it uses a lot of the same judging system as singles, pairs, and dance competitions that take place on ice. But it also teaches teamwork. And did you know that there is a program here in Rochester that is one of the top in the country? And that synchronized teams in the United States can compete in 15 different levels. So when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Scott Mica, who is the assistant manager over at Mirror Images and also a parent of a synchronized figure skater. So, hey, look, stay tuned because you do not want to miss this. I used
to bite my tongue. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah from Youth Sports Now on WISL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Agreed politely. I guess that I forgot
I had a choice. I let you push me past the brink. Sports Now. Therapy and sports training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now. I'm Greg Camp, your host. And today we are speaking about synchronized figure skating. Go figure, no pun intended, but this is one of the coolest things that I've seen. We've been talking to some people today about synchronized figure skating, and of course I did what everybody does. I go online, I Googled it and checked it all out, and I got to see some great videos, but I also got to meet and talk with some wonderful people here in the Rochester area who are involved with this. So, you know, this is a really, truly interesting topic and an interesting sport that may be an alternative for your kids. And even if your kids are figure skaters, this is a great way to learn how to do this as a team. With us right now is Scott Micah. Scott is on the Youth Sports Now hotline, and he's the assistant manager at Mirror Images, and they're the folks who do this synchronized skating stuff that he's going to tell us about. Scott, first of all, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about what synchronized figure skating actually is.
Great. Thanks for having me on, too. I think you summed it up pretty nicely when you talked about the swimming. You got a bunch of different moving parts, but they're all trying to synchronize together, and, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing to see. I know you said you watched some of the videos. You have that many girls skating sometimes pretty fast, and you got blades, and it's an amazing sight.
Well, you know, Scott, it seems to me when I saw some of the videos and I saw your website at Mirror Images, what occurred to me is that, first of all, I was blown away by the amount of teams that you have there and the ages. I mean, we are talking young girls and boys who are in figure skating at very, very young ages, and yet they are doing some of these things that are just remarkable on ice, and they're doing it together as a team. Tell me a little bit about the age groups and how that works, and, you know, when do they start?
Well, my daughter got involved in skating when she was 4, and she first got introduced to the sync team. I think she was about 7 years old or so, and, they have all sorts of levels from beginner all the way up to the masters, where you can be, I saw some... saw some septuagenarians out on the ice the last time we were at Easterns last year. And, it's really incredible to see the level. And it's pretty varied.
So how does one get into synchronized figure skating? I mean, I'm imagining that these are young athletes, young kids who like to figure skate, and suddenly, you know, how do they get introduced to the synchronized part, and how do they become part of a team?
Well, it starts doing, beginner lessons. We started right at our local rink. We went to Thomas Street Figure Skating Club, and she took some lessons through there. And then they have these different levels that they can take part into. And luckily, she had a coach there that steered her towards synchronized skating, and they had some girls together. And it's about, you know, having numbers. And if they have enough girls for it, they can put together a team just about at any level. So,
what's it like as a parent? I mean, we've talked to Little League parents, and we've spoken to, you know, hockey and soccer and all sorts of parents, but this is something that is truly a little bit different, because they are working as a team, but it's on the ice, and I'm sure they've got to have their good quality, you know, foundation in figure skating, but it's almost like an art form. So what's it like watching this as a parent?
It can be pretty nerve-wracking, first of all. in terms of being a parent, there's a lot of time, especially when the girls are younger and they're not driving to these time 5:45 a.m. practices. You know, you're there. So we log quite a number of hours with them And so we see the genesis from where they first start to by the end of the season. And it's incredible to watch.
And how much, you know, and this is, may sound like a dumb question, but how much fun is this for the kids? I mean, it seems to me that if someone is a figure skater, that even at a young age, they're driven to that individual competition and to better themselves individually. But here you've got, you know, maybe a figure skater who is competing against somebody else who may be on their team. And now they're working together in this synchronized figure skating stuff. So what's that like for them?
Well, I know for many of the girls on my daughter's club, they almost do the individuals as kind of fun, and they root each other on. You know, it's part of that team aspect that you get when they bond together and they spend so much time together. There's really not a whole lot of individual competition. They're just as happy for one another when they win in place, or, you know, whatever position they come in. There's not a whole lot of individual, they're really going at each other individually because they're so strong. They have such a strong team bond.
So how does it work with the teams? Tell me how this works. So you get your child signed up for synchronized figure skating over at Mirror Images, and they say, you know, for the most part, they've been skating as a hobby or even more, but they've been figure skating by themselves. What's the process like, and what do they do in terms of starting up this whole synchronized type of skating?
Well, one of the things that we do offer through Mirror Images is we have a couple of those open houses in April and May that we invite anyone that has, you know, a certain level of skating. It's like a level six or higher that they can get to. And these are just basic levels that they need to pass through their local clubs. And then they can come and see how things are like and see if they'll like it. They go through some moves that they'll be doing this season. And then we have tryouts in May. And then from there, it's just a matter of taking the best fit and seeing how many girls or boys are out there and putting them on the right team.
So with the teams, how are they placed on the team? I mean, you know, once again, when we compare this to traditional sports, you know, the kids try out and potentially they either, you know, make the team or they're put into another league or division. So how does it work with synchronized figure skating? Do they get cut? Do they go down to a different level? How does it work for them?
Well, the funny thing with the synchronized skating, it does work by age. Age is a factor depending on which level of the team. And it gets really complicated, almost too complicated to go into in an interview. But, you know, it's a matter of, just like any sport, it's their level. And if they're going to be able to do the moves required, there hasn't really been... You know, people that are able to skate and want to participate, there's always a position. They do have members that can actually be alternates. Because the weird thing about synchronized skating is you can't sub in and out. You have the team. It takes a tremendous amount of commitment on the girls' parts, and they got to be there for everything because everything is so synced up and everything is so practiced that, you know, to not be there makes it difficult.
So, Scott, with the types of programs that are run, I mean, from what I read today, I, the way I understand it is that you've got, you know, the team performance with a free skate, which is required, and then, of course, you know, the older girls or boys potentially need to do a short program. So people who are watching figure skating or the Olympics certainly are very familiar with those phrases of short program and, you know, the free skate and so on. So how do they, are these performances choreographed and is the music choreographed and then it's judged during competition?
Absolutely. Depending on the level, for the higher level, like seniors, juniors, the higher level teams, they have two programs, just like the Olympics. They have a short program and a long program that are both choreographed to music, right down to the very last step. For the younger teams, and they just have one number that they basically work on, and so there's a lot of tweaking that goes on throughout the season also.
So when
and they're judged differently, too. There's a couple of different judging systems. There's like three different judging systems. But for the most part, until you get to the higher level, higher levels have, just like the Olympics, where you have, a number that's given and... And then in the younger ones, they have six different categories that they judge them on, and they basically put them according, if there were 10 teams, they would give them a ranking based on any of their moves, choreography, et cetera.
So how competitive is this, Scott? I mean, I know that, in looking through my notes that there certainly are, U.S. competitions. There's the U.S. Synchronized Skating Championships, and then there's also the World Synchronized Skating Championships. And yeah, I know the top performing teams in the junior and the senior levels have many opportunities to do this. But how competitive is it once you really get into it? And, like, who are you competing against?
Extremely. Most of the teams that we see through our competitions are along the eastern coast. And we get a lot of teams, from New York City. We were just in Cape Cod last weekend. There were, I don't know exactly how many teams were there. Just in my daughter's flight alone, there were 10 teams, and they were just in one flight, and then they had another team in the same division, another flight of 10 teams. So it gets really competitive, and there are a lot of teams out there, which, especially if you haven't heard about synchronized skating tonight, you'd be amazed at how many teams are there and how competitive it is.
So with the competitions, and let's maybe talk at the older levels, I know that there are synchronized figure skaters who they may have done this as a teenager or younger, and now they're watching family and relatives do this with younger kids. So when you look at this, is this something that, people can do the synchronized skating? And then what happens when they reach adulthood? Is there an outlet for them to continue this, or is there some way that they just continue their figure skating, on their own?
Obviously with figure skating, you can, there's a lot of different levels that you can continue on. But the same thing is happening with sink skating, where you can really compete. Like I said, the Eastern's Championships that we went to last year, there were teams that had, I think there was a couple of 7-year-olds on the team that were still competing, and just amazing. So it doesn't stop at a certain age level, and it's really a sport that can be enjoyed if, no matter how old you are.
So what does a resident of Monroe County and surrounding areas do if they, first of all, what if they just want to watch synchronized figure skating? Where would they go? How do they do that?
Well, one of the things that they can do is we have our Facebook page. It's Mirror Images Sync at Facebook, and they can look it up for actually Mirror Images Synchronized Skating Teams. They can find it that way. We're also on Twitter. That can bring you there at MISync. And we also have a website, mirrorimagessync.com. And they can see, we have the videos up. It will bring you to our YouTube page as well. There's so many social media outlets that we have, so people can actually see the product that we put on the ice. And, we are looking to gain some corporate sponsorship and to do some different things so that we can take the girls to even, different venues across the country and, open up our, just get them a little bit more opportunity.
So if someone wanted to actually come and watch it, are there any competitions, that take place either on a monthly or a yearly basis somewhere in the area where people can go and see the competitions?
At this point, the next, we're going to be going to Hershey, Pennsylvania. So a lot of them are out, but we do have, our program is putting on an exhibition this Sunday at Thomas Creek Figure Skating. Or Thomas Creek Ice Arena, and they'd be more than welcome to come and watch the girls skate. Both our open juvenile teams and our pre-juvenile teams will be skating in their program at that point in time. And we're also going to be at this Saturday at 5:30. We're going to be at RIT for their holiday show as well, performing both of our teams.
That's great. So Saturday and Sunday in the Rochester and Monroe County area, if you're interested, both at RIT and over at the Thomas Ice Rink, which I believe is out in the Fairport area. You know, Scott, one of the things that occurs to me is that part of what's important about the synchronized figure skating, it's something that we believe in very strongly at Youth Sports Now, is the fact that this is something that is teaching some life lessons of teamwork to these kids, and it's also something that is teaching them how to, I guess, take care of themselves, because they've, I would imagine, have to practice and have to do some training. So they're really, you know, working hard to become better skaters, but also just healthier. So is that part of the philosophy of maybe for the younger girls and boys who are in synchronized figure skating?
Oh, absolutely. They train pretty hard. They're expected to do 2 hours of training outside of practice time per week, and they're expected to get about an hour of coaching time, because they need to continually work on their skills. They actually, after each practice on Saturdays, we go to next level fitness, which is attached to the arena, and the girls work out there for an hour, and so they put a lot of effort into what they do, and it really is an important part. Like I said, the commitment level is extremely high, and it's a real bonding experience for the teammates. That's, I think, it's matched by probably even more so than some of our standard sports that we have.
And I would imagine that during these competitions and shows, I mean, it's a lot goes into this with the choreography and the trainings and so on. So who are the people, you know, not necessarily the specific names, but that's fine too, but who are the people who do the coaching, and what type of experiences do they have?
Well, our coaches, we were fortunate enough to have Jessica Stratton coach both teams that we have right now for Mirror Images. And she's just she's a phenomenal coach, and she's brought some amazing success to the team. Last year we on the Easterns we came in, we had a platinum finish, a gold finish, and a silver finish throughout the year. And she's just been amazing, and we're really fortunate to have her working with us. She's got a ton of experience. She was actually on the team when she was skating competitively, also. So she knows a lot about the history. And, it's been, like I said, we are so fortunate to have her.
Well, Scott, it's been a pleasure to talk to you about synchronized figure skating. We've been speaking with Scott Micah, who's the assistant manager at Mirror Images. And definitely go to their website, because it is a really, really cool sport. Hey, when we come back, Mike Naparella and Peak Performance Physical Therapy and some tips for you once again.
To do the things they should have done.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
I am Little League.
I am Little League!
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams. Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back here on Youth Sports Now, and this, is, of course, is the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training session. Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, Greg. How's it going?
Great, thanks. Of course, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance is with us as usual. And Mike, you know, you've mentioned that your wife Karen, who's also a physical therapist at Peak Performance, that you're working with a volleyball program, a club that's doing sports training. Tell me a little bit about that and how that's working.
Well, it's going great. We just started a few weeks ago. Paradigm is one of the girls volleyball club team programs that's in the Rochester area. It's been a really successful program, and CJ Denk, who is Mercy's head coach, you know, they went to state this year and they lost in the final, but they've been a really successful volleyball program. He's actually the head of the club, and so my daughter's in that club. She's playing club volleyball for them, Amanda, on the 17th team, and we just got to talking during the summer. And, you know, they were looking for proposals for training programs, and so we put something together and talked a bit more and sort of hit it off. And so we just started a few weeks ago with the girls, and it's going really well.
So, you know, help me out here, because, you know, so many times we talk about hockey clubs, or we talk about, various types of sports, club sports. And now here you've got a volleyball club. So what does that mean in terms of how many teams you work with, and then what sort of ages are these girls?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the Paradigm's program is similar to many in that their group starts with the girls that we're training, at least. The team starts with 14, girls who are in the 14-year age bracket, and then there's 15, 16, 17s, and 18s. So there's five teams that we work with, and each of those teams has 10 girls on it. So it's a group of about 50 girls in total.
Wow, so you've got 50 girls. So the question then that I've got to ask is, where do you train them? Do you do this at Peak Performance or at their practices or both? I mean, the facility is certainly, large enough and a fantastic facility if you haven't been to Peak Performance. But where do you get to do this, and how do you do it?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of those programs will have kids come in that do training. We'll have them come into their site and do it. What we're doing this year with Paradigm is we're actually going on-site to them. And so we're right at Hot Shots. That's where their practices are. And so we're there Monday and Thursday nights, and we do the training right there with them. There's pluses and minuses to whatever venue option you pick. You know, certainly one of the advantages of doing it at a practice is that, well, all the girls are right there. So it makes things much more convenient for the family. You have, you know, full attendance for the training. You know, the challenge with doing it on the outside, if kids, a larger group like this, were to come to our facility, the disadvantage is now they've got to find two extra days a week. Now you've got transportation. And some of these kids are coming from, you know, for example, Brockport. And they're coming, you know, twice a week to do their club program. But now if we said you've got two more nights a week, you've got to train, now that makes life a little bit more difficult. So for now, we've chosen to do the primary bulk of the training, at least. The majority will be done at Hot Shots there on location. So, you know, the disadvantage is obviously if we can get kids to come in our facility, you know, we've got a wide array of varying sizes of dumbbells and kettlebells and medicine balls and all that sort of stuff. A lot of the equipment we can transfer over there, hurdles and things like that, that we can do training with large groups. But really to do strength training and power training, weight training, is a little bit different of an animal with a larger group like that. But, most of these kids aren't going to have access to this sort of training, if they weren't in a formal program like this. So there's really high value in it, and they're learning all kinds of things that they never did before.
So, Mike, we've talked in the past about training, and it occurs to me that I've never really asked you this question, so I'm going to fire away right now. Overall, in any type of sport, how long should you train these athletes, and specifically with the girls' volleyball and the various ages, how long do you train them each week?
Well, the answer to the second part is a really quick one. The answer to the first part could be several shows. So let's start with the second easy part, okay?
I'm never going to make it easy for you. Come on.
What we do with Paradigms Club right now is that they've actually taken a 30-minute block of their practice time and dedicated it to training. So CJ feels so importantly about what's happening with the girls physically that not only are they getting the technique coaching from their volleyball expert coaches and tactical training in terms of what are the tactics and the mindsets and the schemes that we're going to use offensively and defensively, individually and as a team, to play the game of volleyball, but let's physically get them prepared as well and not neglect that. And so often kids spend a lot of time playing sports, but, we've talked about this, Greg, but sometimes coaches forget that you're dealing with an athlete who is a physical body. It's not just an athlete that is trying to develop skills. I need to learn how to hit the ball better or see the tennis ball coming at me differently to figure out what sort of shot I'm trying to set up for or whatever it may be, run my route better, make my cut to get open better. But physically, an athlete that's restricted in mobility, has bad balance, is poorly coordinated, isn't quick, isn't agile, can't jump very high, is going to struggle with all that skill development. So, we really respect and love that CJ has a mindset of developing an athlete, taking these girls and helping them develop athletically and not just playing more volleyball. He could have taken that time and spent 30 more minutes playing volleyball. And as a coach, most coaches would eat up that opportunity twice a week to have another 30 minutes. But he felt this was of such high value that he's putting in as part of their program directly right there. So we are doing either the first 30 minutes of their practice or the last 30 minutes of their practice. So there's three teams at one session and then two teams at another, and they flip-flop. So we've got one group of 30, and then we have another group of 20, and it just flip-flops. Now, the first part of your question is an awesome question. How much do you train? And I think that is sort of a Pandora's box, sort of a question and an answer. But I guess I would just say it this way. And this is not quite a cop-out, but it sort of is. It depends. And what it really depends on is what the athlete's looking for, what their needs are, but also what kind of time they have. Certainly there's expenses involved with training, so if someone wants to be super thorough, that's more time with a trainer, that's going to cost more money. It's also more time required in travel. So, ideally, let's take a college athlete, for example. When they get on campus, there's things they're doing probably 6 days a week, even in the off season, between weightlifting, plyometrics and agility, general conditioning, metabolic conditioning. So you could have kids doing things anywhere from 1 or 2 days a week. For this, for example, a half hour, what we would term more of a sports conditioning program. It's not optimal for strength and power development because we don't have all the weights and all the equipment there. But again, these girls are doing things that they haven't really had access to or done before. And so there's great advantages and development changes they can see from that. But it's a limited scope. Now, if you get down and you come into my clinic and we get, let's say, a smaller group of six kids, well, now you might be in a program that's maybe an hour and 15, and we're doing plyometrics and agility and speed work and doing, functional weight training drills, strength and power development things. That they can work on, and they may be given metabolic conditioning and training things to do on the side as well. So when we do those sort of programs here, Greg, they tend to be 2 days a week. Part of that's just out of practicality. You know, you take a high school kid, they've got classes all day long. They've got sports that they're playing. They've got skill development sessions they're trying to go to. And we're throwing in training. We don't want to be a part of the overtraining of athletes that we've talked about on the show so often. So there's a balance to be had. You know, but ideally, it'd be great to see kids being able to do some physical development things at least 2 days a week. But if we could, there's even 3 to 5 days a week, let's say, of things they could be doing. But that demands a lot of time on their part and commitment. And that's difficult with all the things they have going on in their lives right now. So I think for the girls and what they're doing, the 2 days a week is going to be a good start. And then there's going to be a certain number of girls who want to take it a little further, who are a little bit more dedicated or a little bit more committed to taking it to the next level and really optimizing their chances in college or their performance. And for those kids, those sort of two-time-a-week, 30-minute sport conditioning things aren't quite enough. They're going to want to take it to the next level, and that's when we bring them into the clinic.
So, Mike, you know, with the training, the sports training that you're doing at Peak Performance, I can assume that somewhere in there, in this training, is a little bit of that word. Now, listen up, because I'm once again showing how well I listen to you, that I'm sure there's some sort of functionality and biomechanical training that takes place when you train these volleyball players or, in fact, any athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, for us, the very first thing that we look at in terms of trying to decide what to do with them is we have to step back and understand what sort of key issues are that keep them off the court or off the field. I think, you know, sports performance training and working out and fitness training, all those things can be sort of developed in this era of CrossFit and P90X and circuit training and insanity and all these different things that people see on the internet or on the infomercials and that sort of thing. There's lots of creative ways to exercise now. And, you know, we certainly, you know, have heard of high school teams, for example, taking one of those sort of programs and just following it. And it's so different than the things that most of them have done. It can be fun for a period of time, and it's interesting, and it's motivational, but it's very limited because it really wasn't designed for their particular sport, and certainly no one looked at those kids for their own needs. So really what we want to do is when we took this program on, Greg, is we step back, talk to CJ a bit. We certainly understand the game of volleyball and the type of things we see in the clinic. Our very first concern is what keeps these kids off the court. You can't go into sports performance level of function if you're already dealing with kids who aren't healthy and are injured. And so there's some commonalities that tend to happen in a sport like volleyball where, you know, we tend to see things like, let's say, shoulder tendonitises, strains, rotator cuff strains, and then things like shoulder instability that we've talked about before. So those things have origins. You know, we look at, is there someplace tight in the body? Is there an imbalance? And in the shoulder, for example, as we said before, many of those things have to do with how the rib cage, their trunk, and their shoulder blade move. And that oftentimes is a source of that shoulder motion. Not just merely the idea that they overuse their shoulder a lot, but that the shoulder really got too much of that swinging at the shoulder and rotator cuff when it should have been absorbed by the shoulder blade or the trunk better. So we identified that as the source, and we're using that as one of the flexibility, mobility drills that we do. Another area, for example, is low back pain. You know, a lot of volleyball hitters tend to get low back pain, and even that can go to the point on the spectrum toward even getting a stress fracture. So, again, we looked at that, and we know that trunk and shoulder blade is one of those reasons, and hip flexibility can be one of those reasons as well. We know that volleyballers get a lot of ankle sprains. So oftentimes they can't bend that knee down over the foot very well where they're going down for a dig, which is, retrieving or getting a ball that came over the net and passing that to their setter. Oftentimes they have to get down low for that, and that can be really restricted. If they've injured their ankle before and they can't bend that ankle, they may actually have that heel come off the ground early, and now they're more susceptible to rolling the ankle and having a sprain. So we identify those sources, and that's where we start our program. Functionally, we understand functional biomechanics, so we went back and started them with a program of flexibility to address those things, and then we're going into things like dynamic warm-up programs, and we really think about that like functional movement preparation, teaching them how to be athletic. You know, it's interesting, Greg, that you take a young athlete and they start playing a sport. Let's say they played volleyball for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Some of those kids may have been 8 years old or 10 years old, and they're taking up the sport. And unfortunately, what we see is that sometimes, you know, they get the coaching and they get the skill development, but let's say a kid can't get the ball over the net with quite perfect technique. Well, the option isn't to get the ball, to keep the ball on the same side of the net, right? When they serve, they've got to get the ball over the net. You know, if they struggle keeping good form passing a serve, they receive the serve defensively to try and pass the serve to their setter. But in good form, they can't quite get it there the right way. The option isn't to just receive the serve and have it pop up in the air and say, well, I missed it. They find a way to make it happen. And oftentimes, as our body, through these younger years of sport development, is finding a way to make it happen, it's really cheating around the tightnesses, the weaknesses, the coordination or agility losses that we have, the things that we lack. And in that process, we appear successful because they got the ball back over the net, because they did serve it, because they did get the ball to the setter. But in the process, they start ingraining these physical limitations and these cheating ways of moving. And now all of a sudden, we see these girls who are high schoolers who are swinging with their arm in a way that, hey, what happened to their shoulder blade? Why isn't their trunk turned? Why don't they have that ankle mobility? Boy, how are they getting to the ball when they don't have that? Well, somewhere else takes the hit. They may still appear successful from a skill standpoint. You know, she got to the ball. She can still retrieve low balls. She can still hit the ball over the net. But they're not necessarily doing it in the most efficient and effective way, and that's what can lead to breakdown. And even if it doesn't lead to breakdown, it certainly leaves a ceiling effect or a limitation to how high their performance can get. So we're really going back and helping them with a lot of those athletic functional movement patterns, the diagonal movements, lunges, how to put their feet on the floor so that they can be quick, and helping them move better in those ways.
Well, Mike, you know, that's just absolutely, you know, what you said was, you know, reach their highest performance. Of course, they're reaching their peak performance. And we've been speaking with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, our title sponsor here at Youth Sports Now. And I'm sure we're going to continue this conversation in the coming weeks because Mike's got lots of great great information for us and just wonderful news to hear about this program over at Peak Performance. That about wraps it up for U Sports Now on an edited edition a little bit so that we can get to some other action tonight. And we'll talk to you next week on Youth Sports Now.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.